You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Wednesday, April 6th, 2022, on a cloudy day here in Auburn, Alabama, on and off rain all morning and afternoon long. It's supposed to get nasty again, so hopefully everybody stays safe, stays dry. That's been the story of the week so far here in Auburn is just the crazy weather we're having in spring. It is April, so you really just never know what you're going to get down here in the south and the southeast weather-wise. You know, it could be rain, it could be sunshine, could be tornadoes, could be aftermath of a hurricane. You never know what you're going to get. So hopefully everybody's staying safe and staying dry out there in the Auburn-Opelika area and across the state of Alabama as well. Appreciate everybody tuning in to On the Line here from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind going on in the sporting world, I want to hear from you. Trevor, my producer's waiting on your phone call. So give us a call, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. It's a jam-packed first hour here on the Line. First segment's going to be a little bit shorter because at 2:15, we have Britt Bowen, the Auburn women's basketball and softball play-by-play announcer. He will be joining us here on the show at 2:15 to talk about Auburn softball. Their game was canceled today due to the rain, so he will preview this upcoming series and last weekend series that they had for Auburn softball. So Britt Bowen on at 2:15. And then after that, at 2:30, we normally try to have at least one guest a day. The goal is two. We love to have two guests on every day, one per hour. But with some timing issues, we've got it figured out. So it'll be Britt Bowen at 2:15. And then Chris Lee, writer for VanderbiltSports.com, the Vanderbilt Rivals account. Chris Lee will be on at 2:30 to talk about the Vanderbilt baseball team and preview the upcoming series as the Vanderbilt Commodores come down to Auburn to take on Auburn baseball this weekend at Plainsman Park. So a jam-packed, busy first hour here on the Line. We're going to cover a lot, so make sure you stay tuned from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Again, phone lines are open for the first segment. We'll close them down for about 30 minutes because we do have back-to-back guests, but then the rest of the show, they will be open. So give me a call. I want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. It's going to be a great show. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. And I want to talk about the NBA first. And I know we don't talk a lot about the NBA on this program because, you know, the closest team is Atlanta, but the NBA is one of those leagues where me personally, and I think I've talked about this before, how yes, I do have a quote-unquote favorite team in the NBA, but it's the one professional league of the sports that I watch that I don't have a die-hard fandom for one team. When it comes to the NBA, I watch it as a whole and as an entertainment factor from the entire league perspective instead of I have one favorite team, I'm going to watch all 82 games. It's always kind of been that way for me. Growing up, yeah, I had a bandwagon, you know, mentality when I was a kid. I loved watching LeBron and Kobe, right? You know, those were the two guys I grew up watching. But as I get older, less and less do I care about a specific team when it comes to the NBA, rather than just watching the league as a whole, which is what I do now. And I still find it extremely entertaining. And let's just be honest, the NBA is set up for entertainment. Yes, there's good quality basketball, but all of the drama that happens on the outside, that happens off the basketball floor, that just shows that the NBA is concerned with entertainment, and they should be because it works. People tune in, people enjoy it, and you know, do what you're good at, right? So that's what the NBA is doing. But when it comes to news about the NBA, this is the last week of the regular season in the NBA. The playoffs are right around the corner for the NBA. And a pretty significant team just got eliminated last night. The Los Angeles Lakers officially were knocked out of playoff contention last night. They lost to Phoenix on the road, 121-110. The Los Angeles Lakers are now out of the playoffs. They can't even make the play-in tournament, which is two extended teams in the postseason. The Lakers can't even make the play-in tournament. They are officially out. And what's so shocking about that is just the guys that were on this roster. And you look up and down, and, you know, preseason, everybody said, well, there's a lot of talent on this roster. There's a lot of talent on this team. They should be able to do something special, right? And truth of the matter is, they haven't. They haven't done anything they haven't done anything with the talent that they have on the floor. And they have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, all of that. They have so much talent on the roster, and when you look at the names up and down, you're like, wow, there's a lot of big names on this team. Again, Russell Westbrook, your starting point guard. You have Anthony Davis, your starting center. LeBron James starting in your starting five. Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench. And yes, these guys are older, especially LeBron and Carmelo. These guys are older, but even with all of those names, and even being older, you would still think this team can do something really special. Austin Reeves, Malik Monk, Trevor Ariza, Avery Bradley. These are guys that have played and started on other teams. Dwight Howard, these are all guys that have started on other teams in their careers, all playing for the Lakers, and yet they still miss the postseason. And at what point do you look at this as a failed experiment in LA between LeBron, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis? I think you got to start looking at it right now. Yes, injuries really held this team back. Anthony Davis has been out for a while. LeBron, obviously, in and out of the lineup with injuries. But here's the crazy thing. I saw a stat today, and it was hard to believe. And Anthony Davis even said something about it. He said, this year, we had more starting lineups than we did wins. Now think about that. That means that the Lakers had more starting lineups that were different. They had different starting lineups. They had more of those than they did wins. They had 31 wins this year, the Lakers did. They had like 40-something different starting lineups across the entire season. I mean, that's unbelievable due to whatever it may be, injuries, trying to change things up, guys taking days off, taking rest days. We've seen big-time superstars do that as well. Over 40 different starting rotations for this Lakers team, and yet they only had 31 wins. So, you know, say what you will about why that is and what the reason for that was, but that's bad, man. The Lakers right now, they just missed the playoffs. They're 31-48. I mean, they're not even close to being 500, and they just now got eliminated from the playoffs. So what happens now with the Lakers? Does Russell Westbrook go somewhere else? Probably. Does LeBron and Anthony Davis? No, they're probably going to stay. But at what point do some of the older guys that you have on the roster for their name, such as Carmelo Anthony and those types of players, what do you do with those guys? Because you're paying them a decent amount of money, but it's obviously not working. And so if you're the Lakers, you got to figure out what to do, because this is unacceptable in Los Angeles when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team, especially having LeBron James, who has lived for the postseason his entire life. So something's got to change. Something has to change from the Lakers, which is... it's crazy to even think that we're having that discussion, that the Lakers with this roster are not in the playoffs, but they're not. They are not in the playoffs. They are not in the play-in. They have not been knocked out completely in what is a stacked Western Conference. And as it stands right now, the Phoenix Suns are still your number one team in the Western Conference. Here's how crazy and how good the Western Conference is. Golden State just now got back up to the 3 seed. This past week, they had been at the 4. The Golden State Warriors are the 3rd seed in the West when it comes to playoffs. That's just unbelievable with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and they've had some injury troubles as well. But when that team's fully healthy, they can beat anybody in the entire NBA. And so that team is just third in the West. Right now you have Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State, Dallas, Utah, and Denver. Those six teams are 100% in right now. Those are your playoff teams right now. And then with the new system, you have four play-in teams: Minnesota, the Los Angeles Clippers, New Orleans, and San Antonio. Those four teams, as it stands right now, would be in the play-in tournament. The top two teams coming out of that would be your 7 and your 8 seed. But when you look up and down, I mean, there's four or five teams just in that play-in from the West that can win the NBA championship. I think Phoenix can do it. I think Memphis can do it. I think Golden State can do it. And either Dallas or Denver, I think, could make a legitimate case for it. It's definitely the top three in the West could definitely make a push and win the NBA title, especially to come out of the West. And when you look at the East, right now you have Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Toronto, and Chicago as your six, 1-6 in the playoffs right now. And then you have Cleveland, Brooklyn, Atlanta, and Charlotte. Those will be the play-in teams right now. And really, when you look at it, there's some teams there that can really make a push and win the NBA title. It's crazy to look at the Miami Heat sitting at 52-28 at the top of the league in the West, or in the East. They're like third in the league overall behind Phoenix and Memphis. But in the East, the number one team, they have a legitimate chance. Boston is playing extremely well. They have a chance. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. I mean, don't count these teams out, folks. There are five or six or seven different teams across the NBA that I legitimately believe could go on and win the NBA championship. The playoffs are going to be fantastic. But as it stands right now, I believe that Miami and Phoenix have clinched the one seed. Because in the East, Boston is 2.5 games back, so they may be able to make a push. But Phoenix has already claimed the one seed. I'm looking at it right now. Phoenix has clinched the one seed. The Grizzlies are 8 games back in the second place spot, so they're not going to be able to come back. Boston could still get the one seed. I don't see it happening. I like Miami to still be the one seed in the Eastern Conference. But again, with just a couple games to go, you have games tonight, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. So you've got however many days, 5 more days of the regular season left. And when you look at, you know, let's take the Heat, the number one team in the East, still trying to hold on to that number one seed. They've got 2 games left. That's it. Over the 5 days, they have 2 games left. So they would have to lose, and Boston would have to win for that to really change a whole lot there. But again, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. It's so much better than the regular season because when you watch regular season NBA, defense is most of the time non-existent, and that's why I don't enjoy watching it as much as I do college basketball, where guys play for 40 straight minutes and they play their hearts out no matter what. NBA, I understand because, you know, it's a long season and, you know, there's an entertainment factor to that, right? But the NBA playoffs are a whole different story. The NBA playoffs, if you're going to pick a time to watch the NBA, do it right now, because the playoffs are actually a lot of fun. Same thing goes for the NHL. I like hockey during the regular season as well as the playoffs, but the playoffs for both NHL and NBA are so exciting. They used to line up perfectly. They do a little bit now. The NBA is starting a little earlier than the NHL is this year, but there's about a 3-week period where both leagues are in the playoffs. The NBA and the NHL are both going on in the postseason. Some of the most exciting playoff basketball and hockey that you'll watch. So I definitely recommend that you watch that during the postseason if you don't watch it during the regular season. Both the NBA and the NHL, it's going to be exciting. The NBA, there really is, I think, 6 solid teams that could go on and try to win the NBA title. So I know it was a short first segment, but let's head to break, because after this, we've got Britt Bowen, Auburn women's basketball and Auburn softball play-by-play. He'll be joining us at 2:15. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. I get my days mixed up so many times on this show, I swear. The Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Our first guest of the day, Britt Bowen, Auburn women's basketball play-by-play and Auburn softball play-by-play, joining us here on the show. Britt, welcome in.
Hey, Jacob. How's it going, man? War Eagle.
Going great. War Eagle to you. Let's jump right into it. Unfortunately for softball and the weather that Auburn gets in this area around this time, tonight's game was canceled against Georgia State, so can't ask you too much about that one, my friend.
Yeah, that's just how it goes this time of the year. Unfortunately, there is not an indoor dome for Auburn baseball or Auburn softball to use this time of year, but that's just how it goes. From the looks of it, I'm not sure if it will be made up or not, but there still are a couple other midweek games here down the stretch that fans will have a chance to see the Tigers. I think in 2 weeks they have games back-to-back on, I think it's the 19th and 20th, at J&B Moore Field, and then, of course, the Tigers are back at home next weekend for a Friday and Saturday pregame series with Niagara. So still a couple more chances left before the SEC tournament in May.
Well, before I ask you about the Arkansas series coming up this weekend, I want to ask you just a specific question about this softball team. What are they doing well right now that is going to continue to carry through SEC play, in your opinion?
Well, up until Sunday, one thing I thought they were doing fairly well was hitting. I thought they did a pretty good job of keeping themselves in games. I thought 1-9, the team has gotten much better at putting together competitive at-bats. I've loved their approach, and Coach Dean has done a tremendous job, he and his staff have, of developing this team, and not just hitting the long ball, but finding ways to manufacture runs. And unfortunately for Auburn on Sunday against Florida, faced a very good pitcher in Hightower. Auburn just didn't have it on Sunday, and that happens from time to time. It's a long season in the SEC. Also, pitching for Matty Pinta has been phenomenal as well. I thought she gave Auburn two winning efforts for the Tigers. I mean, she picked up the win in a complete game performance on Friday in Game 1 against Florida, and got to find a way to get Shelby a little sharper. And she's been on a pitch count. I don't think she's been 100%. I got to find a way to get her and KK back in sync, because if Auburn can get them in sync, and they keep the bats going down the stretch, it could be a pretty fun end of the season for the Tigers.
Talking to Britt Bowen, Auburn women's basketball and Auburn softball play-by-play announcer. Britt, in that final game against Florida, Auburn softball was shut out 3-0. That's only the second time that this team has been shut out all season long. The first time was back in the beginning against UCLA. Is this something that is just maybe a fluke? Because you talked about their offense being their strength so far.
Yeah, I think so. I think, honestly, and look, some may disagree with me here, and if so, that's okay. I think it's one of those games that, as a young team, remember, this team is by roster is the youngest team in the SEC, and I think that showed a little bit on Sunday in facing a veteran pitcher in Hightower. I think this team is still learning how to hit, still learning how to succeed at the level they need to, and learning how to be consistent at this level. I mean, that's asking a lot. Now, the talent level is there, but credit to where credit's due, where Florida pitching all weekend, they shut down the middle of Auburn's order. And for Hightower, a pitcher that's got great spin, she throws a rise ball at about three different speeds, which is just uncommon. You don't see that much. She faced Auburn a second time after Auburn had already seen her on Friday. Well, she threw two mistake pitches on Friday. Auburn ran into them with two home runs. She didn't throw a mistake pitch on Sunday, and so sometimes that happens. And the thing about Auburn is, look, the pieces are there. You can't hit the panic button. It's a long season. Learned that today. Had a chance to catch up with Coach Tim Corbin and also Coach Butch Thompson preparing for the baseball series this weekend. And both of those guys, I thought, said it best, and it can be relevant in softball. You have to be able to ride the highs and the lows and to be able to find that balance. And if whichever team can do that, it's usually the team that's gonna end up in the win column. You have to find a way to center yourself and center yourself as a team. And as soon as Auburn learns how to do that, and I think they're learning right now, they're growing, they're going to be just fine. Like I said, this league, top to bottom, is the best in the country. It's a gauntlet. Teams beat up on each other week in and week out. Auburn still very much has an opportunity this weekend to go on the road and redeem themselves against a good Arkansas team. I mean, think about it. They were two outs away from taking down top eight Kentucky on the road 2 weeks ago. Last weekend, to Florida's credit, in both game two and game three, they outplayed Auburn. It wasn't Auburn's series. It's hard to win every series in this league, but it's all about how you bounce back, and we'll find out on Friday how they can do.
Well, we talk about on this show a lot how baseball and softball, sometimes you have those games where it's just not your day. And in this sport and these sports, you can't win them all and you don't win them all. And I like your point of you just riding the highs and the lows throughout a season.
Well, right now, look, in the season, that's the case. Now, when it turns postseason, it's a completely different mindset to a degree. But right now, like, there's still a long way to go. You're only halfway through SEC season. I think we're over the halfway mark this weekend with four series left, starting this weekend at Arkansas. And that's what's tough for this Auburn team. That's why I was so disappointed after the Kentucky series losses, because that was a prime opportunity to go on the road. And because now coming back after the Florida series, three of the next four SEC series are on the road for Auburn. The next two are on the road for Auburn. So, for a young team, that can be tough. But, again, they have what it takes. They 100% have what it takes. I think for them, confidence-wise, I just want to see them go out and do it just so they can prove to themselves that, hey, we can win on the road against a top 15 team in this league. And because, again, they've been right there in another big opportunity with Arkansas.
Talking to Britt Bowen of Auburn Women's Basketball and Auburn Softball Play-by-Play here on the Line, what is the scouting report on this Arkansas team as Auburn Softball travels to Fayetteville for a three-game series this weekend?
Well, much of the same as last year. They're the reigning SEC regular season champions. I mean, Danielle Gibson is one of the best hitters in this league. I think her average is right below 500. She's flirting with around 15 home runs and 40 RBIs. And then you have Mary Half in the circle. I mean, that kid's 11-3. She's a strikeout machine. She's really good. And this Arkansas team, I think they came into Auburn last year and swept Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. So Bogle Park is a tough place to play. I've been there twice, and I will tell you that I'm 0-6. So I'm really happy for Auburn softball's sake that J.J. Jackson will actually be on the call this weekend to hopefully give them better luck than what I have in Fayetteville, because I haven't been very good in my two trips up there. But it's a tough place to play. I mean, it's a super regional-type atmosphere. Get online. If you didn't see the Arkansas-LSU series, get online and look up a picture of what the crowd was like at Bogle Park. It's one of the toughest places in the league to play. It's a great venue, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's going to be the home of the 2023 SEC softball tournament next year. So I'm excited to go back for that. But it's a super regional type atmosphere in Fayetteville. I mean, they were, I think, a game away from going to Oklahoma City last year. They lost at home to Oklahoma State. So I know that team's hungry, and when they lose at home, it's not very often. So it's going to be a tough atmosphere.
Well, to combine the tough atmosphere and the point you had a second ago about this team being so young, the youngest in the SEC for Auburn, how does such a young team battle against the crowd and battle against everything going against them on the road in the SEC?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This team, they're not scared. They're fearless. They don't know any better other than to go up and show up and play softball. I mean, we have so many kids on this team that love competing. They want to compete in the highest level. They want to be in those situations. You know, how Auburn was finding ways to win early against Texas A&M and South Carolina with late game walk-offs. Those weren't mistakes. That wasn't by accident. That's the DNA that's in this freshman and sophomore class. And heck, Aspen Godwin, Lindsey Garcia, the upperclassmen that's carried this team and showing them the way. These kids want to win, and right now they're just having to find ways to put it all together. And And they're really close, and that's what's exciting. I mean, this team is on an upwards trend despite what happened last weekend. Ran into a good Florida team. Okay, learn from it. They have the makeup to go on the road and do it.
Well, Britt, as always, we appreciate your time here on the show. I know you're not on the call this weekend, but good luck to JJ out there who will be on the call for Auburn softball. Britt, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, man, appreciate it. War Eagle.
War Eagle to you. That was Britt Bowen of Auburn Women's Basketball Play-by-Play and Auburn Softball Play-by-Play here as a guest on the show. We appreciate him and his time as always. We try to have him on and give us a little update about Auburn Softball as they are continuing on what is a fantastic season so far for the Lady Tigers over at J&B Moore Field. They travel to Arkansas this weekend for a three-game series, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 6 o'clock Friday, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. Not sure if it'll be televised, but it'll be on radio over on the Auburn Sports Network. So make sure, if you want to, you can catch that over there. But good luck to Auburn softball this weekend. And right before we head to break, a reminder, stick around. We have another guest right after this break. Chris Lee of VanderbiltSports.com, the Rivals affiliate for Vanderbilt. He'll be on to preview Vanderbilt baseball and give us a little preview of what the series will be like this weekend over at Plainsman Park as Auburn baseball takes on the top 15 Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend here on the Plains. Stay tuned. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. 30 minutes in to hour number one of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Big thank you to Britt Bowen, who just joined us on the show to talk about some Auburn softball as they get ready for their series at Arkansas this weekend. But now, our second guest of the hour. I know, crazy stuff going on. Second guest of the hour, it's a new guest here on the show, Chris Lee, the podcast host of Southeastern 14 Podcast and writer for VandySports.com, the affiliate of Rivals. Chris Lee, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming on today and previewing some Vanderbilt baseball. Of course, the Commodores traveling to Auburn this weekend for the baseball series against Auburn. And want to start out and ask you a question about this Vanderbilt baseball team. They are 21-7 on the season, 4-5 in conference play. For our listeners here in Auburn that may not be up to date on Vanderbilt's baseball season so far, how did the Commodores get to this record to this point in the season?
Well, they started off hot. They lost, other than losing two of their first three this season to an Oklahoma State team that's really good, and that series could have gone either way. They won, goodness, what was it, 18 in a row at one point. They beat South Carolina two weekends ago, lost games 2 and 3, won a midweek game, and then got swept by Tennessee this weekend. So it's been an unusual season. It's been very hot, very cold. They played a Tennessee team that's phenomenal last weekend. Seeing Vandy get swept by home at home by anybody is unusual. So I think everybody's reeling a little bit, but they won a midweek game against Austin Peay. And in spite of the turnaround in the bad way of late, that's still a very talented team.
And so Vanderbilt now 4-5 in conference play, and you talked about the series last weekend getting swept by the number one team in the country, Tennessee. What happened to the Commodores in that series?
Well, they got outpitched. Tennessee had three starting pitchers who were tremendous. Vanderbilt just couldn't square much up. Sunday's game was just a parade of one ground ball after another. They just could not put anything together offensively. They pitched pretty well. A lot of Tennessee's runs, probably half of them, were unearned. But when your bats aren't hitting anything, you're not going to win games, and that's the way it went down.
Talking to Chris Lee, the podcast host of Southeastern 14 Podcast and writer at VandySports.com, they won their midweek game against or on their schedule yesterday, 12-2, and now they come to Auburn looking for a win in the SEC. What is your scouting report on this Auburn baseball team as Vanderbilt comes to town?
Well, you know, they pitched a lot better than I thought they would. I know the starting pitching's been uneven at times, but sometimes you see some flashes of things. They had some good performances at LSU. I like their closer, Blake Burkhalter. You know, the lineup has been interesting. Sonny DeChera has had an incredible year with the bat. They got a couple of the guys that have been around a while, like Cason Howell. This has been a team that I think has probably exceeded my expectations a little bit. And, you know, you didn't much know what they had in terms of pitching. And I know it's not one of the league top staffs, but if you can hit a little bit, just decent pitching can win you some games. And that's kind of where Auburn is. I like the coach, Butch Thompson. I just think this is a team that, of all the teams before the season, compared where I thought they'd be to where they are now, I think Auburn's got as big a case as anybody is probably the team that, other than Tennessee, has surprised me more than anyone.
Talking to Chris Lee, the podcast host of Southeastern 14 Podcast and writer at VandySports.com. Before I ask you your keys to the weekend for Vanderbilt against Auburn, what's the mojo like on this Vanderbilt baseball team after getting swept against Tennessee, having some up and down play? What's the mojo like coming down to Auburn this weekend?
Well, I don't think it was great. Getting swept by Tennessee at home is demoralizing. They're going to hear about it a lot because it's their home state. And yesterday their lineup was different. They put some freshmen in there, benched some kids who normally don't start. You know, you got to get some bats in there that hit at some point. I don't know if that was a sign of things going forward or just a wake-up call to see how kids respond. But, you know, there was a little spark in the dugout yesterday. They did win a game big, although it was Austin Peay. So, you know, Tim Corbin is as good or better than anybody about getting his team prepared. You've seen some teams that didn't play great at this point in the season. I'll give you a case in point. The 2014 national title squad lost 5 of its 10 SEC series, didn't play very well in Hoover, got beat in home early. But Tim is as good as anybody about getting his team hot at the right time, about mixing and matches the pieces in between to see what works and what doesn't work. And I think even though they didn't play well last weekend, and who knows, they may not play well next weekend either. We've seen this before. He's great at getting teams ready. And also, that's a team that you kind of don't want to play when exams are over. They're still in all that. They're still in class and everything. And that's a lot of times not the time of year where they play their best ball. But so Auburn, you know, if you're Auburn, probably a good time to catch Vanderbilt. We'll see what happens.
Chris, I want to ask you now, as Vanderbilt comes to Auburn with the first game being Friday night, first pitch set for 6 p.m. Central Time, what does Vanderbilt have to do to come to Auburn and win a game or two or possibly sweep or whatever? What does Vanderbilt have to do this weekend against Auburn?
Well, I got to hit. They didn't hit at all last weekend. You know, you got a guy at the top of the order in Enrique Bradfield Jr., who's maybe the fastest kid in college baseball. You got to get him on base. Have him steal a couple of bags. You got to get a big hit from a Dom Keegan or a Spencer Jones. You got to just start playing more like the Vanderbilt you've shown you can be. They haven't been that for about the last week, but it's in there. They've got some talented kids, and I think they need to get some runs early to get some confidence and some momentum. That's been a thing that's been an issue for them, even when they've hit well this year a lot of times. It doesn't come the first time around the order. So I think just getting some early runs would do them a lot of good.
Talking to Chris Lee, the podcast host of Southeastern 14 Podcast and writer for VandySports.com over with Rivals. Obviously, the goal for any team going into a series is to sweep, right? But in your mind, what is a realistic outcome and what is Vanderbilt looking to get out of this series this weekend against Auburn?
Well, I think if you're Vandy, just winning the series, whether it's 2-1, 3-0, you got to be thrilled. Again, you've lost 5 of your last 6 in conference. I don't know that a sweep is realistic going to Auburn the way they're playing, the way Auburn's playing, but I think you hope to get 2, and I think it's doable. I think they've got to play better than they did last weekend. I think they just ran into a buzzsaw. Vanderbilt's not used to getting beat like that, but it happens sometimes. I think 2 out of 3 is realistic. Does it happen? I don't know.
And just one more question before we let you get out of here. Looking ahead in the Vanderbilt baseball schedule after this weekend, they have a home series against Florida. They travel to Kentucky, back home against Texas A&M, at Georgia, and then at Arkansas and at home against LSU. You don't have to break it all down for me. I know that's a lot of series, but to finish out the season and head to Hoover, what are you looking for from Vanderbilt, and how do they finish this season?
Well, I think this is still probably maybe a 17-18 win team. It looked like the easier part of their schedule was what they've just played, and maybe the couple series coming up. It didn't turn out that way. Tennessee is the number one team in the country. Again, you know, you really don't want to go to Auburn and get swept. You'd like to at least get one. Florida next weekend will be interesting. Florida's had trouble pitching. Kentucky's had trouble pitching, too. Both those teams, though, have really hit. A&M, I still don't know what that team is, but that's in Nashville. Georgia will be an interesting matchup down in Georgia. That's a team that has hit better than I thought it would hit, but hasn't pitched much. And then, my goodness, you end the series or the season with Arkansas on the road. That's going to be brutally tough. And then LSU in Nashville. That's a team that has had some issues pitching at times and can really hit very well. Look, there's no easy outs in the SEC. It's certainly the case this year. A lot of ball to be played, and just hard to get a feel on how it's going to play out after what we saw last weekend.
Well, Chris Lee, we really appreciate your time today, especially coming on an Auburn radio station, talking a little Vanderbilt baseball with us. So we appreciate your time. Let everybody know where they can keep up with Vanderbilt and keep up with your work.
Yeah, our Vandy coverage is at VandySports.com. That is the rivals' home for Vanderbilt. I'm spending a little bit more time at Southeastern 14. I'm actually working on a story right now that's taken all my week about the bat issues that you saw at Auburn and with Vandy and Tennessee last weekend. If people don't know about that, you can look that up pretty easily. And we try to cover basketball and baseball the way that everybody else covers football. We do cover football, too. But if you're looking for a home for a couple of men's sports that I think are really good and very undercovered, best place to find us is on YouTube. Search Southeastern 14. We try to do something about every day. That's been a little spottier this week with me working on the story. But we've really found a home with SEC baseball and basketball fans, and I think folks out there will like what we do.
Well, Chris, again, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the story, and I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was Chris Lee, podcast host of Southeastern 14 Podcast and writer for VandySports.com over at Rivals. So make sure you go and give him a follow and check out his work. He's done some great things. I found him this week and reached out, and I wanted him to come on and talk a little Vanderbilt baseball. We had last week a guest on talking LSU. So trying to do that every week, have an opposing writer come on and give us a little preview of what Auburn baseball has coming up on the schedule. So again, thank you very much to Chris Lee. We do appreciate his time. Sounds like he's got a lot of good things going on down there, or over there, or up there, however you want to say it, up there in Vanderbilt. So thank you again to him for coming on the show today here on the line. Those are the two guests today, so the phone lines are now completely open as the rain starts pouring down here in Auburn, Alabama. I saw a lightning strike during that phone call, and the bottom has fallen out here in Auburn. It is raining pretty hard. Supposed to get nasty. I haven't looked at the updated weather, so I'm not too sure how bad it's supposed to get, but everybody make sure you stay safe, stay dry, and again, just stay safe in this weather. I know it's been crazy across the state this week weather-wise, so everybody stay safe out there. But again, thank you very much to Chris Lee for coming on and giving us a little preview of Vanderbilt baseball as they come to Auburn this weekend to take on an Auburn baseball team that, you know, you could also say kind of up and down. They've definitely exceeded expectations to this point in the season. Auburn has 20-9 overall with a 5-4 conference record. Look, it's going to be tough against a good Vanderbilt team this weekend. They are ranked inside the top 15 is Vanderbilt with their new logo, by the way. And I'm looking at their new logo, and it looks sharp. It's the V, right? It's the V. It looks sharp. I like it a lot. I wasn't a fan of it when it first came out, I'll really be honest. I like their traditional Vanderbilt with the star and everything. I like that. But the V, the new V, it looks pretty good. I'm going to be really honest. It looks really sharp. I like it. But back to baseball. Auburn's going to have a tough time this weekend against Vanderbilt if their pitching doesn't improve or, you know, and even just like hold steady. Against LSU, there was really only one game where they didn't pitch well at all. That was the 9-2 loss on the Friday game. But as long as this team can pitch decent and the bats can continue to work, look, this Vanderbilt team can hit the baseball. You heard Chris Lee talk about it. He said, I asked him, I said, what does Vanderbilt need to do? He said, hit the baseball. And that wasn't just giving a generic answer. That was specific for that Vanderbilt team. They've had some struggles hitting the ball as of late. And let's be honest, a team like Vanderbilt coming in to play a team like Auburn that's had pitching struggles at times, they may be licking their chops a little bit, but I think it's going to be a fantastic series. I would love Auburn to get just win the series, I think. And that it's still a tough task to ask to win the series. I have been saying for Auburn, just win a game, right? Just win one game this weekend. You're at home against a very good, you're probably outmatched, but a very good Vanderbilt team this weekend at home. Pick up one win at your home place against Vanderbilt. If you win the series, you're on top of the world and you're feeling really good about yourselves if you're Auburn baseball. But Auburn and Vanderbilt, Auburn is hosting Vanderbilt this weekend at Plainsman Park, Friday at 6, Saturday at 4, and Sunday at 1 o'clock. We will actually be giving away some baseball tickets to that weekend series. We did it a couple of weeks ago. We will be doing it again, so make sure you tune in. Probably tomorrow will be the goal is to give those tickets away on the show. Tomorrow we'll have a set for our show, we'll have a set for the drive, and we'll also have a set for social media. Two tickets to every game this weekend against Vanderbilt. So make sure you stay tuned and check our social medias out for that. We'll be giving away some baseball tickets to the Vanderbilt series this weekend. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Just a few more minutes wrapping up hour number one. You haven't had to hear too much of me today. Had two guests in the first hour. Big thanks again to Britt Bowen, Auburn women's basketball and softball play-by-play. We had him on at 2:15. And then Chris Lee, writer for VanderbiltSports.com over with Rivals. He also is the host of Southeastern 14 podcast, so make sure you go check him out. He came on at 2:30 and previewed Vanderbilt baseball as they come to town to take on Auburn this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday over at Plainsman Park. Again, make sure you stay tuned and tune into the show tomorrow. We will be giving away a set of Vanderbilt baseball tickets for the weekend to a lucky caller tomorrow on our show, The Drive, and on social media. So make sure you keep up with all of that. We're giving away some baseball tickets tomorrow for the series against Vanderbilt this weekend over at Plainsman Park. Just a few more minutes before we head to the first hour break. We'll be back at 3 o'clock for hour number two. I talked about the NBA to start the show, and I forgot that this news had broke. I talked about the Lakers and how they are not in the playoffs, and the Lakers have decided they're going to fire Frank Vogel after the season's done, their head coach. So there's people saying that the Lakers would have been a playoff team without him at the helm. I don't know. I think this team has a lot of ego on it, and they had a lot of injury problems as well. So, I don't know. I really don't see how this team was going to make the playoffs the way they've been playing all season, but I saw that news during the break, and I forgot that that had happened. So, just wanted to let you guys know that that is happening. But it has stopped raining for a second, but I looked at the radar during the break, and around 4 to 4:30 is when it's going to get bad for a little bit here in the Auburn. According to the radar, you know, you never know how it pans out, but according to the radar, there's some stuff coming. So make sure you, if you're here in the Auburn area, stay safe, stay dry as the storms come through yet again today. But again, just a few more minutes before we head to the top of the hour break. And the Masters week is continuing on. Today is the par 3 contest over at Augusta. It is currently going on right now over at the world's most famous golf course over there in Augusta. So everybody's excited, man. Everybody's excited, especially that Tiger Woods is competing and that he is 100% ready to go to play this week. And he is the... He's not the betting favorite right now, but bettors are absolutely loving Tiger Woods to win this thing this week. And look, I haven't made my prediction yet on who I think is going to win. because ultimately that's extremely difficult to find and pick for a golf tournament because there's so many people that compete in a tournament and you got to pick just one to win all 4 days, right? After 4 days of golf, they have to be the man on top. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, as much as I would love to see it, as much as I would think it would be awesome to see it again, Tiger Woods is not winning the Masters this year. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Tiger Woods is not winning. He's not going to win the Masters. I'm trying to think if I want to make a call on him making the cut or not. Of course, if for anybody that's not a big golf fan, you have 4 days of a golf tournament, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. After the second day on Friday, they make a mark on the scoreboard, and whoever is like on the scoring wise, and if you're above that score, of course, in golf, you try to get the lowest score, and whoever is above that score, you don't make the cut. Everybody else makes the cut, and they go to the weekend. They play Saturday and Sunday. That's when they start getting paid and getting money. So you can go and play Thursday, Friday, but if you don't make that cut line, you don't make any money. So that's what that means, and it just all depends on everybody else's score. They take some kind of an average and do it that way. So do I think Tiger Woods makes the cut this weekend? Yes, I think Tiger will make the cut this weekend, but it's really hard for me to believe right now that with everything that's happened, I know he looks good on the range and has looked good in practice rounds. I get all of that. And if you've seen the pictures coming out of Augusta today, it's unbelievable how many people have been following him around just for a practice round. And I can attest to that. I went in 2019, and it wasn't like this because nobody expected it in 2019 for him to be good. But now he's good again, and everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to be there. But the pictures coming out of Augusta today, he's just surrounded every hole he goes to during a practice round, which is just mind-boggling in itself. But it's hard for me to believe that Tiger Woods can put a full four rounds of golf together that's going to be good and compete against some of the guys that are playing golf right now. Tiger's older. He's older than a lot of the people on tour or in this tournament. He's coming off of an injury. He's going to have to walk 18 holes for four straight days if he wants to win. You got to play 4 days, right? I just don't know if he can do it again. And not saying that he can't, but I don't see it happening this week. I don't have my official pick for the Masters yet, but it's not going to be Tiger Woods. Don't waste your money and bet on him, folks. He's not going to win. I like it. I would love to see him do it, but it's not happening this week for Tiger Woods. He makes the cut, though. I will make that call. Hour number one officially in the books. Stay tuned for hour number two. You're listening to On the Line.
You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Wednesday, April 6th, 2022, here in Auburn, Alabama. Rain has stopped temporarily, but it's coming back, folks. I looked at the radar, and according to the radar, the weather is coming some more, so make sure you stay safe, stay dry out there on this rainy Wednesday spring afternoon. Hour number one officially in the books, and hour number two is now underway. If you missed any of today's show, we had two guests back in the first hour. Britt Bowen, Auburn women's basketball and softball play-by-play, was on the show at 2:15, and then Chris Lee, a writer for VanderbiltSports.com with Rivals and also the podcast host of Southeastern 14 podcast. He came on the show to talk about Vanderbilt baseball and preview their series as they come to Auburn this weekend to take on the Auburn Tigers baseball team. So big thank you to both of those guests in hour number one. If you missed any of hour number one, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. I'll post it immediately following today's show, so make sure you go and find that or any of our other past shows. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Phone lines are open for the entirety of hour number two. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind, I want to hear from you. Let's talk about it. College basketball, the Masters this week, NBA, who's going to make the playoffs, Auburn baseball, softball, anything that's on your mind, give me a call. Trevor, my producer, is impatiently waiting on your phone call, so make sure you give him a call, and we'll put you on the air with me, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Also, another announcement, tomorrow on the show, make sure you tune in and give us a call. We'll be giving away baseball tickets for Auburn baseball as they host Vanderbilt at Plainsman Park this weekend. We will be giving away tickets to the entire series for the weekend tomorrow on the show. All you'll have to do is call in, give us your name if you want to put your name in the drawing, or if you want to come on air, you could do that as well. But that will be tomorrow during our show right here on the line from 2 to 4 p.m. on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Also, on the ESPN 106.7 social media accounts on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, we will be giving away tickets on there as well. All you'll have to do is like it and make sure you're following our pages, and we'll pick a random winner from that as well. So that's all going to be tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that. Keep up with our social media accounts and all of that good stuff for giving away some Auburn baseball tickets this weekend against Vanderbilt. A lot going on. Kind of a crazy time, but that's okay. That's okay. We're blessed to be here. Happy to be here. And again, I appreciate everybody tuning in to hour number two of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Trevor, let's start it out like we always do, hour number two, with making headlines.
Making headlines.
So, making headlines here on this Wednesday afternoon, April 6th, here in Auburn, Alabama. Not a ton going on headline-wise across the sporting world, but there is some stuff. Of course, the Lakers have missed the NBA playoffs. They have officially been eliminated from the playoffs and the play-in tournament. They are out. LeBron James will not be in this postseason. Anthony Davis, Carmelo, Russell Westbrook, all those guys on the Lakers are officially out of the playoffs. The Lakers have also announced that at the end of the season, Frank Vogel, their head coach, will no longer be their head coach. They are parting ways with him, firing him, however you want to word it. He will no longer be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I talked about this in the first hour, how this is a disappointment. If you're the Lakers, this is a massive disappointment for Los Angeles and the Lakers, the city of Los Angeles, in the terms of this Lakers team, because of the history behind this Lakers team. And I know that before LeBron went there, they had some bad years. They had a four or five year stretch, I should say, where they were horrible, man. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't have winning records. They were losing bad. And if you would look at the record of this year's team, you would think it was a team from that stretch. This team was like 31-48 or something in so far in this season. They have a couple more games to go, do the Lakers, but 31-48 on the season. That's not good, guys. That's not good, ladies and gentlemen, if you're playing in the NBA, especially when you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, all of these guys, Talen Horton-Tucker, all these guys that are on this squad, they just couldn't ever figure it out. And their defense was so bad. And I understand that the defense in the NBA is very picky. And it is like, it's pick and choose on when they want to play defense and how hard they're going to play defense. But when you would watch a Lakers game, they just didn't play defense at all. They didn't play defense at all. They would just let guys do what they wanted to do, and they were just going to try and outscore you by scoring 150 points. But the problem is, this Lakers team couldn't do that offensively. You had Russell Westbrook, who can be an absolute superstar, triple-double machine, but another night can go 0 for 15 and can't buy a bucket. You have LeBron James that's in and out of the lineup due to injury. When he's in, he carries, he dominates, he scores his 30-something points, right? Anthony Davis, he has been injured for long periods of time throughout this season, so can't really put too much on him. The bench is eh for this team. They're okay. They don't really make a huge impact for the Lakers. But their defense, I mean, it's so bad about just literally not playing defense. I mean, they would, if a ball got passed out to the corner to a shooter, an open shooter, nobody's running out to close out on him. Nobody. They're just going to let him shoot and hope he misses. And you're in the NBA. You can't do that. Guys are going to make it. They're there for a reason. They are in the NBA for a reason. They are going to make open threes more times than not. And you saw that with the Lakers. They would just let shooters go, weren't contesting. They'd let people blow by them and just lay it in, no contest at all. And in the NBA, it's just not going to win, man. It's not going to get it done. I understand the scoring has gone up tremendously in the NBA over the past 10 years. And, I mean, teams, they're averaging 110, 115 points a game now, which is ridiculous if you ask me. But at the same time, you've got to still play defense. I understand that teams are scoring at a higher rate than ever before, but you've still got to play defense, especially when it counts. And I think you're going to see that in the postseason. I talked about this a little bit in hour number one, how in the postseason that's coming up in just a couple of weeks, you're going to see that a little bit more from the NBA teams that are in the playoffs because they have something to play for, right? It's kind of like in the MLB in baseball where sometimes a team just doesn't play good because they just don't care sometimes because, well, who cares about this Sunday afternoon game? We have 160-something more to go, right? So when it comes to the NBA, I think a team like the Lakers and how you get to be 31-48 across the entire season, not playing good defense, you can't just wait until the postseason to start playing good because this team's not even in the postseason anymore. So one of the biggest franchises in all of the NBA with LeBron James, one of the biggest names in the entire sport, the entire sporting world, they will not be in the playoffs as they go 31-48. They do have a couple of games left, but they have officially been eliminated from the Western Conference playoffs. Frank Vogel, their head coach, will be fired at the end of this season. That has been reported from multiple news outlets. Carrying on with making headlines, Oscar Tshiebwe from Kentucky. He is your Wooden Award winner. He is officially the player of the year, the best player in college basketball from this past season. Very well earned, very well deserved. The guy was a force at his position and on that basketball team for Kentucky. He dominated just about all season long. He was a double-double machine. Almost a 20-20 type player. He could get 20 points and 20 rebounds, especially early on in the season. We saw him put up ridiculous numbers, rebounding and scoring. Once the SEC came along, yes, he slowed down a little bit, but he still had some fantastic games and some dominant play against SEC squads. So, again, the guy played really, really well. Well-deserved for him. Could it have gone to other players? Yeah, I think so. I think it very easily could have gone to a couple of different players across this season. You could have given it to Agbaji from Kansas, who just won the national championship. He was one of the top players in all of college basketball. Jabari Smith, you could have given it to him. I think his inconsistency at times, I think that kind of hurt him for Jabari to win player of the year. He did win freshman of the year, but I think his inconsistency at times hurt him to win the player of the year. To all the listeners, who do you think should have won the Wooden Award? Oscar Tshiebwe wins it officially. Do you agree with that pick? Do you think it should have been somebody else? I want to hear what your thoughts are about it. Give me a call, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. I want to hear from you. Who do you think should have won the Wooden Award? Who was the best player in college basketball this season? Who were they from and why? Why do you think so? I do want to hear from you, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Nothing against Oscar Tshiebwe. Again, he was extremely good at what he did. He was a threat scoring and rebounding. He gave Kentucky multiple possessions off of offensive rebounds. He did his job, right? At times we saw him get shut down against size and against bigger players or somebody that was tall or taller than him. We saw him struggle a little bit, especially against a guy, you know, like Walker Kessler, who was taller than him. Obviously, Tshiebwe is a bigger built guy. He's a lot more muscular than a guy like Walker Kessler, but all it took was a little bit of size for Oscar Tshiebwe to really get his game thrown off. And so I think that's an important thing to look at. But they obviously, the voters and everything didn't, they weren't too worried about that. They were worried about his dominant play in the games he did so well. And he really did. He played fantastic all season long. So credit to him. He is your Wooden Award winner. But I do think it could have gone to a handful of other players. Jabari, you could have made that argument. Again, Agbaji, you could have made that argument. Drew Timmy from Gonzaga, he's always up there as one of the best players in college basketball. You could have Bancaro from Duke, he was up there. So I think there was a handful of them that really had a shot to win this thing. But I think it was known for quite a while that Oscar Tshiebwe was going to win the Wooden Award. He is the player of the year in college basketball. Another headline here in our Making Headlines segment, Ty Washington. We're sticking with Kentucky a little bit. Ty Washington, the guard from Kentucky, battled injuries late throughout the season and really kind of all season long. He has declared for the NBA draft. Ty Washington is projected as of right now as a lottery pick, top 15 in the NBA draft. He has declared today he will be going and testing the waters in the NBA draft. Good for him. The guy can ball out. He is a fantastic basketball player. I just hope he can stay healthy because I do think he can be really, really good in the league. I think he would have been really great in college if he could have came back and just stayed healthy. But obviously, he battled injury problems all season long. So I hope that he doesn't have those same issues when he goes to the league, because he won't last very long if you just get hurt all the time. That's just how it goes. I think he can be an extremely effective player at the point guard position. He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker. He's a ball handler, a shooter. So I think that if he stays healthy, yes, he is shorter, but he's really not that short. It's not like he's Sharif Cooper or Jared Harper, who went into the league from Auburn, right? I think Ty Washington can be a very impactful player. I don't see him being a superstar or a franchise type of player, but I do think he can be effective wherever he goes. So happy for him to see him going on to the NBA. Ty Washington declaring for the NBA draft from Kentucky. Moving on, making headlines, the Masters continuing on this week. First day of the tournament will be tomorrow. Monday and Tuesday practice rounds are in the books. Today's practice round and the par 3 contest is going on at Augusta right now. You can watch it. You can stream it live on the ESPN app. I'm pretty sure you can watch it on there. They may have it on the TV broadcast as well, but I'm sure you can go and stream it through ESPN. The par 3 contest, of course, a lot of legends in the game of golf. They come out, a lot of older legends come out and play the famous par 3 course there at Augusta. And tomorrow will be day one of the world's most famous golf tournament, the Masters, will get underway. First 2 days should be on ESPN, and then Saturday, Sunday, I believe, will be on CBS. So that's how you can watch all of that. It's going to be a fantastic tournament. I just can't wait, man. I cannot wait to watch this tournament. I'm going to have it on all the time, no matter what I'm doing or where I'm at. I'm going to have the Masters on somewhere. It's my favorite tournament of the year. The course is unbelievable, and it brings out the best and the worst at times in the professional golfers. So excited to watch the Masters. As of right now, John Rahm is your betting favorite at 10-1. Justin Thomas at 2 at 12-1. And some of the most common people that are getting bets, as of, according to ESPN, to win the Masters: Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Cameron Smith, and Scottie Scheffler. Those guys are all in the top betting lines. They are getting some love. But bettors in Vegas, they love Tiger Woods this week. They love Tiger Woods coming back in this tournament. And I ended hour number one, and I said, look, and I stick with it, Tiger Woods is not winning this week. I would love it. I'm not hating on him. I'm not saying I don't want him to win. I think it's going to be really tough for Tiger Woods to put together 4 straight days of intense golf, walking the golf course 4 straight days, intense golf play, having to compete with so many younger guys on this golf course. I think it's going to be extremely tough for Tiger Woods to come out and try to win this week. I really, really do. I think he can make the cut, but at the same time, I could also see just a bad 2 rounds of golf from Tiger Woods. He's put in a lot of work this week and a lot of work leading up to this to get back to this moment. And I don't want all of that to come back to haunt him and he gets out there for the tournament and is just tired, sore, hurting, not able to do what he wants to do on the golf course, hitting bad shots, not able to recover. I could see that going on as well. I hope not. Okay, I do. I hope that that does not happen. I want Tiger Woods to play good. I want Tiger Woods to be there all 4 days because, like I've said before, when Tiger Woods is playing in a golf tournament and Tiger Woods is playing good, it just makes golf better. Golf is better when Tiger Woods is better. And golf is better when Tiger Woods is just there. That's all it takes is for Tiger Woods to just be on the grounds. Because look at the pictures coming out of Augusta today. Just for him on a practice round, there's thousands upon thousands of people watching him practice. Watching, we're talking about practice, Trevor. We got one man practicing golf, and there's thousands of people watching him. So, again, I don't see him winning this week. But I do like him to make the cut. I think he can play well enough. He's put in enough work to where he can play well enough and make the cut. But at the end of the day, there's too many young guys playing really, really good golf right now. Scheffler, I think he has a really good shot. I really like Justin Thomas this week to really do something special. I like Jordan Spieth to come out of the woodworks a little bit and find his game again at Augusta this week. So with all of that being said, with everybody putting their money on Tiger Woods, I think it's like 40-1 odds right now. It's a long shot for a reason. I understand that he used to be the best player to ever play, but he's not anymore. He still has a lot of skill. He really does, and I think he can compete at times. I think he makes the cut, Tiger Woods does. But when it comes to actually competing and winning this weekend at Augusta, I just don't see it happening for Tiger Woods. I just don't see it. I like a couple of guys not named Tiger Woods to win this golf tournament. And I hope that all 4 days are exciting and fun, and I hope it is not a runaway by Sunday. I hope it comes down to the 18th hole because that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants some drama in a golf tournament, especially the Masters. And as long as Tiger Woods is around the top of the leaderboard, as long as he's within three or four strokes, he will still be relevant in this golf tournament. And even if he is just completely out of it, so far out of it, he will still get TV coverage because it's Tiger Woods and everything that he has done for the game of golf. So I'm really excited for the Masters this week, if you cannot tell. I love the Masters. I love golf. It's an exciting time. And I cannot wait to go back someday. It's a dream come true to be able to go to Augusta. So that gets underway tomorrow, of course. First two rounds, Thursday, Friday, and then they'll make the cut and play Saturday and Sunday. But that'll do it for Making Headlines here on the Line. Let's take a break. We'll come back, have a few minutes before the 3:30 break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Just a few more minutes before we head to the 3:30 break. Got about 7 minutes or so before we head to that break. And then 30 more minutes left of the Wednesday edition of On the Line. If you've missed any of today's show, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded as soon as we go off the air at 4 o'clock, so make sure you go and find that. You can find past shows and today's show as well. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Phone lines are still open, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sporting world, I want to hear from you. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, if you want to talk hockey, I'm going to be really excited if somebody calls in about some hockey. I would be over the moon about talking about hockey. But if you want to talk about the Masters, who do you think is going to win this week? It's a tough choice for me. I've said Tiger Woods will not win it. But I'm still trying to think about who's going to win the Masters this week. So if you have a pick on that or anything else going on in the sporting world, I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We've talked a lot of NBA today because that's really the thing that's going on right now. We're in the final home stretch, the final week of the regular season. And the biggest news, and it's crazy that it's this big, but the biggest news is that the Lakers have missed the playoffs. And I know I've talked about this quite a bit today, but it really came down to their defense. And, you know, there were some decisions made from this team to bring in a guy. They brought in Russell Westbrook, And people were like, why, right? But Trevor, my show producer, he brought up a question that Magic Johnson had talked about, I guess, today or yesterday, about this whole Russell Westbrook situation. Tell everybody what you told me during the break, Trevor.
So, during this week, prior before the Lakers got eliminated, Magic Johnson, I forgot what show he went on air on, but he talked about a deal that they had prior, almost finalized, which was DeMar DeRozan, Buddy Hield going to the Lakers, and them keeping Alex Caruso. Now, my question is, if they would have done that instead of the Russell Westbrook trade, would they have made the playoffs?
Interesting. So they would have kept Alex Caruso, but they would have gotten DeMar DeRozan instead. This is the two-part answer, okay? There's a difference in, I guess you have to talk about it first in the sense of Anthony Davis getting hurt really hurt this team, okay? That really did hurt this team. But even with that happening, let's say that that situation had played out where the Lakers, instead of getting Russell Westbrook, they get DeMar DeRozan and they keep Alex Caruso instead of shipping him off. I think they do. I think the Lakers would make the playoffs. They might not, I mean, they're probably not going to win, but I think the Lakers would definitely have a better chance to make the playoffs if they had gotten DeMar DeRozan and kept Alex Caruso versus getting rid of Alex Caruso and bringing in Russell Westbrook. And here's why I say that. Caruso was their best defender, by far, best defender, besides maybe Anthony Davis in the paint, but he's obviously hurt, so you can take him out of the equation. Alex Caruso was one of their best defenders, if not their best defender on that Lakers squad. He is now gone. And you bring in Russell Westbrook, an extremely ball-dominant guy at the point guard position to play with, oh, what do you know, a ball-dominant player in LeBron James. These guys are all ball-dominant in the NBA, right? And so Russell Westbrook, here's my problem with him. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't. He doesn't care about winning. Russell Westbrook does not care about winning at all. You cannot convince me that he does. Maybe winning games, but his ultimate goal is to not win a championship. Because if it was, he would have done so. Or he would have at least, well, I guess he, you know, I don't know. I feel like he's not concerned about winning because of the numbers that he puts up and how ball dominant he is when it comes to him running the offense for the Los Angeles Lakers or any other team. He's played for four or five different teams. It's been the same story. Why do you think he's played for so many different teams? Nobody wants him because he's toxic. He is toxic when it comes to how he plays basketball with a team. And he doesn't defend. You can watch it. People blow right by him. He's not going to hustle. He's going to run on offense and try to score. He's going to shoot bricks in transition. But Russell Westbrook is not the answer. And I think after this showing with the Lakers, I think other teams are hopefully going to figure that out. Somebody will pick him up because they're desperate and they need somebody. But nobody that's looking to actually win and win games and win championships is going to bring in Russell Westbrook. Let's just be honest. Not at this point in his career. Not after what he has shown, what he is and how he plays the game of basketball. So, Trevor, to answer your question, yes, I do think the Lakers would have made the playoffs if they would have brought in DeMar DeRozan instead of Russell Westbrook and also kept Alex Caruso, because that was the deal before they did something else to get Russell Westbrook. I like DeMar DeRozan a lot. He plays his role to a T. He is a perfect addition to any team, especially a team like this Lakers team who has ball-dominant players all over the floor. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, when he comes into the game, obviously he's not what he used to be, but he's still a dominant player. If he has an open shot, that dude's going to take it. Carmelo Anthony's going to take an open shot. Like, even a contested shot at times. He's going to take that shot more times than not, no matter where he is on the floor. That goes for LeBron James as well. So, but when you have DeMar DeRozan and you bring him in and talk about how DeMar DeRozan fits on a team like this, he plays defense, he's efficient on offense, but he's not a ball-dominant player. DeMar DeRozan fits a team like this Lakers team absolutely perfect. So, yes, to answer your question, DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso on this team would have taken them to the playoffs, even with Anthony Davis being out. Russell Westbrook is a fantastic player. He is. Fantastic player, but he's not a winner. And I don't think he's too concerned about it either, because just look how he plays. And look where the Lakers are right now. 31-48, out of the playoffs, out of the play-in tournament. And LeBron James, his years are coming to an end. He only has a certain amount of years left. He's not going to be here forever, and he can't carry the Lakers to another championship. Let's just be honest. Let's take a break. We'll come back and head to the phone lines. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. 30 minutes left in hour number two. If you've missed any of today's show, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. Let's head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Dan, nice to hear from you again. Welcome in.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit on Russell Westbrook. I mean, that guy, until this year, I mean, last year I think he had like 30 or 40 triple-doubles, which is, to get a triple-double in general is pretty hard to do. I think the guy gives maximum effort. Now, I think this is just a bad fit for him, and I think that the Lakers are putting, just like you said, I will agree with you, you got ball-dominant guys that want the ball, and if they don't have the ball, then you're taking away what they do. And I think, you know, you got rid of all the role players, and basically you're trying to put three superstars together that are all, you know, obviously one of them's been hurt all year. And then, you know, it is an older team. You got rid of all your youth, all your energy. You know, and Russell Westbrook is an energy guy. But like you said, you have two guys that are probably the two most ball-dominant guys in the NBA. You know, they need the ball every time they go down the court. So – but I don't think you can question that Westbrook is not trying or isn't like a, you know, doesn't want to win. I mean the guy sweats a bucket of sweat every 5 minutes on the court. The guy's like, you know, now I think this Laker team's kind of giving up. I mean, honestly, I mean they're just not very good across the board.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can just blame that all on Westbrook.
No, and you can't blame it all on Westbrook. My argument about Westbrook is, you know, he is a dominant player, a ball-dominant player, right? There's no doubt about it. But this isn't the first time that we've seen this. He's played on four or five different squads where he was the only player, and it still didn't work out. And I understand that you can't be a one-man show in the NBA and win it all. But I just don't, you know, when it comes to Russell Westbrook, I think he's too concerned about himself getting the stats and trying to do it all himself. Maybe he just has a struggle of using his teammates at times, and, you know, maybe saying that he's not concerned about winning at all maybe wasn't the right thing to say, but I don't think that winning a championship is at the very top of his list just by the way that he plays. And so, but again, I agree with you that the Lakers, especially down the stretch, it seemed like they just kind of gave up.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's hard to get 10 rebounds a game as a guard if you're not trying.
Right. You're right. And he does sweat bullets during a game. He does.
I mean, he does get steals. And so I do think, obviously, this is, you know, from the trajectory that he was going. I mean, last year, like I said, he had so many triple doubles. I don't know what the record is for the most in a season, but he probably broke it because he had, I mean, it seemed like he's getting a triple double every other day. But, you know, it does seem like this team, it just doesn't, it's not a good match, good fit for whatever reason. And yeah, obviously, you know, having Anthony Davis out for half the year, I mean, you know, you can definitely assume that 10 wins that would have happened, he'd have probably been healthy, you know. So I don't know. It's just, this team is like, this team struggles against bad teams right now. So I don't think you can just put it on one guy. There's a lot of problems with the Lakers. I mean, you know.
No, you're 100% right. And Anthony Davis, and I talked about that too, Anthony Davis being out for as long as he has been, obviously is a huge impact. He is one of their better players. I mean, probably the second best player on this team, right? So him being out for the extended amount of time that he has been has definitely not helped. But I don't think I'm going to be honest with you, Dan. I don't think Russell Westbrook being on this team helped them at all. I think it hurts them at times. And I understand he gets the stats and he gets triple doubles, which are fantastic, but it's not leading to wins. It's not leading to playoff berths when Russell Westbrook does those things. And we've seen that not just on this Lakers team, but other teams that he's played for. So that's my issue when it comes to Russell Westbrook. But I agree with you 100% that it's not a match for this team whatsoever.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Dan. We appreciate it. That was Dan here on the line. Phone lines are still open, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. A lot of NBA talk today as the season comes down to the end, comes down the stretch, if you will, with just a few more games left before the playoffs get underway. I agree with Dan. When you talk about the Lakers, you can't put it all on one guy. You can't put it all on the fact that Anthony Davis was hurt and didn't play most of this season. You can't just put it all on that. At the other side, you can't put it all on Russell Westbrook because, like I said, you cannot be a one-man show in the NBA and get it done consistently. It just doesn't happen. There was problems across the board with this Lakers team. Russell Westbrook, again, you know my issues with him. Anthony Davis, yes, was hurt. LeBron James, he did his thing scoring the ball. But and he would also pass it too, so it would almost be hard offensively to blame LeBron. But I think you could blame just about every team person on this team defensively, because I mean this team has given up. I mean they were giving up 130 points a game in the last couple of weeks of the season. Like you can't let a team. I watched them play a game against the Mavericks a couple of weeks ago. They gave up 49 points in the first quarter. 49 points in the first quarter. Sorry, just looking around, our power shut off for a second, so hopefully everything... Hey, hit that live button real quick just to make sure that... Hit it once or twice, make sure we stay on the air. Hopefully everything's okay. Weather coming through, power shut off for a second or two, so hopefully everything's okay. But to continue the conversation, the defense for this Lakers team was the Achilles heel. It had to be. I watched them play a game against the Mavericks. They gave up 49 points in the first quarter. In 12 minutes of basketball, they gave up 49 points. Like, that can't happen. And so, no, you cannot put it all on one team or one person, but this team, and to Dan's point, down the stretch, they just gave up. I think they just knew. They knew that they couldn't beat people. They knew that most teams are younger, fresher, better than this squad. Let's be honest. And Dan made another great point to Dan that he called in about. He said that they gave away all their youth. They gave away all of their young stars and their young talent to bring in big-name guys. They've got LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, those types of guys on this squad. They've given away everybody young and all of their talent that they drafted and have traded for over the years. They gave them all away. And look where they're at now. They've burned themselves. They've played themselves, if you will. And so they're in a bad situation, the Lakers are. You just missed the playoffs. Your star player is still hurt, Anthony Davis. You have nobody to replace anybody. You're still paying an arm and a leg for all these players. You're paying however much it is. I don't know how much it is off the top of my head. You're paying that much to all of these superstars to miss the playoffs. The Lakers are in a bad spot. Okay, they are. They better figure it out because, again, LeBron James is down to his last few years. I don't know how many it's going to be. But he's already made it a point to he wants to play with his son, Bronny, when he gets into the NBA. Is that going to be for the Lakers or is it going to be for somebody else? Who knows? But if you're the Lakers, you're in a bad spot and you got to figure it out right now. And to talk about a little bit of the rest of the NBA, let's talk about some teams that are actually in the postseason that are actually going to be relevant in the next couple of weeks because the Lakers are not going to be. But it is just a shock to see how they have missed the playoffs with the talent that they have. It's just kind of crazy, right? But let's look at the teams that are going to be in the playoffs and the teams that matter because these teams are going to be in the playoffs. These teams are going to be the ones competing for the NBA title. Out of the East, I like four teams. Well, here's the thing. Here's what's crazy, right? The Brooklyn Nets are the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. They are currently in the play-in tournament against Cleveland, Atlanta, and Charlotte. Now, there's some issues with this, too. James Harden was on this team. He is no longer on this team. He is with the Philadelphia 76ers. I think it was a great move by the Brooklyn Nets. Get rid of that, because that did not work. That whole process did not work between Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. That was a bust. Now that all of the COVID mandates have been lifted in New York and Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving can now actually play in your home games and actually play basketball, because he wasn't able to play at any home games in Brooklyn or any road games where the city had COVID vaccine mandates, because obviously Kyrie Irving did not get the COVID vaccine. He made that extremely clear that he was not going to get it for whatever reason. We don't, you know, whatever his reasons were. So he was not allowed to play home games in Brooklyn or any road games where the city had COVID vaccine mandates. So he barely even played. The guy wasn't even playing. The starting point guard wasn't even playing. But now that all of that has been lifted, and hopefully we are on the verge of completely moving on from this entire craziness that has rocked our world for the last couple of years, now that Kyrie Irving can actually play for the Brooklyn Nets alongside Kevin Durant and some of the stars that they have, Seth Curry coming back, Ben Simmons, he is there, but he is not going to be playing. Head coach Steve Nash said he is out. He will not be playing anytime soon, Ben Simmons, for the Brooklyn Nets. Of course, the big trade they made with Philadelphia to send James Harden to the 76ers. I don't know if you want to say that Brooklyn is a legitimate threat to win the NBA title. They certainly have the talent to do so, but how good are they actually going to play? What skill level are you going to see from this team? Because right now they're the eighth seed, and they still have to win the play-in tournament just to even get into the actual postseason. So I'm going to leave them out of it. There's really three or four teams. I think there's probably four. Your top four teams in the East right now, I think, have a legitimate chance to go on and make the finals and win the finals. You have the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Miami Heat are just kind of doing their thing. Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry down there doing their thing in Miami. They've been a quiet one seed, right? You don't really hear a whole lot about the Miami Heat when you talk about the NBA news. They've just quietly done their thing. And then it's the Boston Celtics right behind them, who have had a fantastic season. They have picked it up as of late. They're 49-30. They've picked it up as of late, right? They are on a roll right now. And they're 2.5 games back from Miami. They could still sneak into that one spot, but I wouldn't bank on it. I think your seed lines are pretty set in stone as it is right here. Miami, Boston, those two have a good shot. Milwaukee and Philadelphia, I think those are your two teams to beat still in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee with, of course, when they have Giannis, they have the Greek Freak, the man, the myth, the legend, who is just a superstar. He has become so good in the NBA and at the NBA level. So good, you know, credit to him. The Milwaukee Bucks, always a threat with him. Chris Middleton, those types of guys on that squad, trying to win another one, trying to win another NBA championship for Giannis and Milwaukee there. And then Philadelphia, they have a legitimate chance as well. Joel Embiid, James Harden, like I said, coming from Brooklyn, now in Philadelphia, you have James Harden and Joel Embiid, who I think play well together. I think if once they both play, that's been an issue as well, both guys playing. James Harden has not been playing well as of late, but I think they can come together and play really well together. I feel like their games really match up, right? James Harden, ball dominant, wants to shoot the basketball, wants to drive the lane. Joel Embiid has expanded his range a little bit. He can shoot the three at times. That's not his go-to, but I like him to be a dominant force in the paint. I think those two guys really blend well together. So I really think the Philadelphia 76ers have a good chance to make a run and compete again for the Eastern Conference. Let's look at the West real quick before we head to our final break. Phoenix out in front of everybody at the number one seed. I love this Phoenix team. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, just some really good basketball players, some ballers, like I like to say. These guys are just unbelievable, and I think they have a legitimate chance. I say that a lot. They have a really good chance to make it all the way back to the NBA Finals and finish what they started. I really want to see Chris Paul get that ring. I really, really do. I like Chris Paul. I've been a fan of his since the Lob City days back in the Clippers. That is my team. I said in the first hour that I don't really have a team like that diehard, but I have liked the Clippers for a long time, and I've liked Chris Paul since his Lob City days in L.A. I want to see him win a championship. I also really like Devin Booker. I think he's a class act. He's a superstar in this NBA league now. So credit to him. Credit to the Suns. I think they have a really good shot. But they've got to get through a I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, just a marathon of a Western Conference. Memphis at 2, Golden State at 3, Dallas at 4, Utah at 5, Denver at 6, and then in the play-in tournament as it stands right now, Minnesota, the Clippers, New Orleans, and San Antonio. That will be what it is right now. The Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves still battling to see who's going to be the play-in and who's going to be the sixth seed, but everything else is set in stone in the Western Conference. So your play-in tournament, Minnesota, the Clippers, the Pelicans, and the Spurs, there's some decent teams down there. I like the Timberwolves and the Clippers to come out of that play-in tournament down there. San Antonio, you know, they've got a little bit of talent. They're still kind of in a rebuild, if you will. The Pelicans, of course, Zion not playing at all, so he doesn't have any impact. The Pelicans are decent. They still have a losing record. It's crazy to look that the Clippers, Pelicans, and Spurs, the three bottom teams in the play-in tournament, all have losing records. So take that for what you will. Utah is having some struggles right now. Donovan Mitchell and the squad there, there's been some reports of them having some beef and not really just getting along, and the system is just not working there in Utah. I think your top three seeds are what you're going to see from the West really be the force to be reckoned with from the West. Phoenix, Memphis, and Golden State. I think it'll come down to either Phoenix or Golden State. I like either one of those teams to come out of the West. I like Phoenix to win the NBA championship this year. I really do. I think they're the best team in the league. I think they're going to finish what they started. I like Phoenix to win the NBA championship, but we have a long way to go. Playoffs will begin. It's usually middle of April, so we're looking at about a week or two. So, week and a half, maybe something. I don't know the official start date, but that is coming. So, make sure you tune in to the NBA playoffs. As the rain comes down yet again here in Auburn, Alabama, it is bottomed out. It is a downpour outside right now. So, everybody, again, if you're in the Auburn, Opelika area, stay safe, stay dry. The weather's coming, so just be careful. Let's go to break. We'll come back and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Just a few more minutes before we get out of here, but make sure you stay tuned. It's Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. They'll have The Drive with you from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Make sure you tune in at 5:30. The Drive will have Tiger Takes with Auburn baseball, Sony DeShera. He'll be on at 5:30 on The Drive, talk about everything Auburn baseball, preview the series against Vanderbilt. So make sure you tune in 5:30 for The Drive, Tiger Takes for Sony DeShera. He'll be on with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Again, just a few more minutes left in the Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's been a lot of NBA talk today. We've had some making headlines, talked about some baseball. Back in hour number one, we had Britt Bowen of Auburn Women's Basketball and Auburn Softball play-by-play on at 2:15. And then at 2:30, we had Chris Lee, a writer for VandySports.com, the Rivals affiliate for Vanderbilt. He was on to talk about the Commodores baseball team and how they've gotten to this point in the season, what to expect from them on the baseball diamond this weekend as they come to Auburn to take on the Tigers at Plainsman Park. So thank you to both of those guests. If you missed any of today's show, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Little update. I've been talking about us giving away some baseball tickets on the show tomorrow. We're going to move that to Friday, okay? We're going to move that giveaway to Friday. So 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the line. Make sure you tune in. We'll be giving away baseball tickets to the series for Auburn versus Vanderbilt this weekend. Also, make sure you stay tuned on our social media sites, ESPN 106.7 on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Make sure you follow us because on Friday, we may do the giveaway on social media tomorrow and the giveaway on the show live on Friday. That may be something we do. I will keep you updated, but make sure you're following ESPN 106.7 on all of our social media platforms and to stay tuned for the ticket giveaway for Auburn baseball versus Vanderbilt this weekend. We'll be giving away some of those. We like to do that during baseball season for the home series in the SEC. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Just a couple minutes Before we get out of here again, the drive at 4 o'clock with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 5:30, they'll have Sony DeShera on, so make sure you tune in for that. Just a couple minutes left. Let's do Hot Take Wednesday. Trevor, you have a question. You have a question for me. You're still considering or, you know, talking about the NBA and its situation. What you got for me, man?
Okay. Over the 4 years, has LeBron James' Lakers career been a flop?
Over the four-year span of LeBron James being at the Lakers, has it been a flop? No. It has not been a flop because they have won an NBA title. Yes, it was in the bubble. Yes, it was the, you know, quote-unquote Mickey Mouse ring, whatever people like to make fun of and call it, right? Yes, all of those things. Was it an actual NBA championship? Yes, it was. He's got a ring, right? They've got rings. They won the Lombardi – not the Lombardi, the – what is the NBA trophy called? Is it the it's the O'Brien trophy, right? That's it, yeah. Well, I got those mixed up. It's the O'Brien trophy. But no, LeBron James, his tenure at the Lakers has not been a flop because they won the NBA title. Yes, his first year they missed the playoffs. Last year they got bounced in the first round. This year they missed the playoffs altogether again. But at the end of the day, as you know, you can discredit it all you want, the Lakers won an NBA championship with LeBron James at the helm. They did. So how much longer will it go on? I don't know. Will they ever win another one? No. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Hot Take Wednesday, LeBron is not winning another one with the Lakers. That's my hot take if you want one. But no, his career at the Lakers has not been a flop. It hasn't. He's won a ring. That's the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. Stay safe, stay dry. We'll talk to you later.